Welcome once again to Beef News and Notes, information for both the producers and the consumers of our great product, beef. Well, one of my favorite parts of being involved in the cattle business is who you can meet along the way. It can be at a meeting for cattle nutrition or at a sale barn or nowadays through social media. We can learn a lot from these acquaintances. On today's program, we have with us Eric Miller from Claremont, South Dakota. How's everything going in northeastern South Dakota, Eric?
Oh, everything's going good, Mark. Thanks for inviting me on the show. Big fan. Watch it on there, listen to it on the World Wide Web there for you. So thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, where exactly is Claremont located?
Northeast Aberdeen, about 45 miles.
Okay. And can you just describe your family operation?
Oh, we got a small family cattle herd here and in the livestock business, hauling cattle and going to sale barns and purchasing and selling cattle for quite a few years. I guess I started in 2000. Worked with, you know, a bunch of different customers over the years and got to know lots of people and you know, my family's in the 4-H showing sheep and cattle and goats and, you know, at the state fair and the county fair, so we're just living the dream here.
Okay, and you are also involved in the trucking business?
Yeah, I started out, you know, working for a guy who owned a sale barn and hauling a lot of cattle out of Montana back into South Dakota and Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska. Figured I should probably start doing it on my own, so I've had my own truck for, you know, 20 years and started buying and selling cattle and really enjoy the sale barn industry and working with people to locate cattle that fit their programs and made a lot of good relationships with people in the last 20 years.
Okay, so in those last 20 years, what have you really seen for changes?
Well, a few of the changes I've seen, you know, kind of the quality of the cattle have gotten a lot better. You know, their producers are improving their herds. They spend a lot more money on bulls, and part of the other deal that I see the improvement is they're more willing to do paperwork and stuff that requires the, you know, it ends up letting them get into some of the premiums markets like the NHTC program and the all-natural beef programs and stuff like that. And that's kind of, you know, there's more paperwork involved with those, and they're more willing to do the paperwork there. So, I think that's vastly helped to improve people's herds, you know, in a way or whatever.
Yep.
One of the other things is, you know, in our area, some of these 25 to 50 head cattle operations that maybe couldn't afford a $10,000 bull aren't there anymore. So there's larger numbers of cattle that, you know, it's easier and faster to improve the quality that way, I guess.
And when you bring up people willing to do the work, the paperwork, I can take it a step further into after, you know, people in our area that own feedlots buy these cattle and they do the tracking, keeping track of the feed that they're feeding and the performance of them, it probably makes their dealing with you or the ranchers easier because they know what they're getting. They know probably what these cattle are going to perform in their feedlot for the coming year.
Yeah, that helps them. That helps them a lot, you know. So that's one of the things that I've seen change. You know, another thing just recently that I've seen change is, you know, some of these smaller guys are trying to compete with the big guys, you know, and they're bringing kids back to the farm or whatever, and they're trying to find jobs for them, you know, and a little off-farm income. And one of the things I've seen, you know, these people are doing that I think is kind of neat is you can easily get a license to sell your own beef now. So what these guys are doing, they're going to a USDA-approved butcher plant or whatever, and they're, you know, cryovacking their meat and putting a family label on it and going to these farmers markets and selling, you know, beef that way and trying to, you know, make extra money for their farm. And, you know, it's one of these things where one of your topics on your show in the past has been labeling of beef. Well, if you go to a local farmers market in Redwood Falls, Minnesota, you don't need to worry about where it came from, you know, and you know, these people are offering pretty cheap prices for it, and it's a really good way to buy beef.
That is a really good point. One other area, Eric, after talking with you over the last several years, that I found interesting. And a couple weeks ago, we had a guest on that talked about cover crops. And I know pasture land availability is an issue both here and I'm sure even in your area with more row crops being put in and taking away from the pasture land availability. What's your thoughts on it? And I know you've also shared with me some of the rations that you use in your feedlot. Can you just describe that a little bit?
Yeah, to answer the first part of the question, Mark, when you said about the cover crops, in our area it's just starting to take a hold where people are actually using it, and to me it looks like something that works great. You know, if you got that crop off early, you took silage off or whatever, you get that cover crop going, bring your cows and calves home from the pasture, it kind of saves on grass. You know, it looks like it should be good for the ground, but a lot of people are doing some fence weaning, they call it. They put the calves on one side of the fence, put the cows on the other, a lot less stress on the calves. The calves get bigger sooner and faster, makes more pounds for the guy selling them. A lot less stress on the animal or whatever, so when feedlot people like you guys purchase them, you know, that's kind of a benefit there, I guess.
Okay, and in just closing here, can you just go over a little bit what you use for feedstuffs at your farm and feedlot?
I don't necessarily use a fat cattle ration because I grow a lot of, you know, breeding type cattle for sale to Missouri. I got quite a few customers in Missouri I sell breeding cattle to, and you know, I'm 100 miles away from the beet plant there in Wahpeton, so I get a lot of sugar beet tailings or whatever, and I feed them and I mix with ground hay and mix with ethanol or whatever from the ethanol plant. Seems to be a really good ration for, you know, cheap cost to gain to maintain the animal or whatever, and helps me put some weight on and keep the cattle looking good for the next guy that I'm trying to sell them to.
And that is the part of just sharing how you do it compared to other producers, and that's the one thing where the name of the game is, you know, the cheapest cost per pound to gain and get the most performance out of it. So anyhow, I'd just like to thank you for sharing your story and good luck with both your cattle business and your feedlot operations, Eric.
Thanks a lot for having me on the show, Mark. I really appreciate it.
All right. Until next week, thanks for listening, and we will talk again.